Now Paul's not through. He's going to say something else. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now Paul says that there's something else. Not for salvation. No. You're saved by the grace of God. But Paul says that great emphasis should be put on living the gospel. We've renounced, he says, the hidden things of dishonesty. You see, the fact that we've come to Christ and trusted him, it's not just that intellectual assent that Christ died on the cross. It's that we trust him. And not only that we've trusted him, but we've been regenerated. That he now has saved us, and we ought to be an example of the gospel. In other words, the man who preaches the gospel should be a holy man. And he says here, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Well, last time, probably you thought I was not very kind to the Amplified Bible. Well, I'm going to turn and read it today, this verse, because the translation here is very good. It brings out all the facets of these words that Paul uses. Let me read now verse 2 in the Amplified Bible. You follow along in your Bible there. We have renounced disgraceful ways, secret thoughts, feelings, desires, and underhandedness, methods and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, that is to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. But we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly. And so we commend ourselves in the sight and presence of God on every man's conscience. My friend, that's a very wonderful verse. Now, that gives meaning here. We are not to walk in hypocrisy. We shouldn't be unreal. Our behavior shouldn't contradict that which we are preaching. May I say, it ought to be a conduct that meets the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. But at least we ought to walk in a way that is well-pleasing to him. And we're not perfect. Then he has another word here, that not handling the word of God deceitfully. Someone has translated that huckstering, not huckstering the word of God. May I say to you, this gets right down to you. Mr. Preacher, many of you listen to me. Why do you preach? You preaching for money? You say you preach for the love of souls, but really is it the love of souls or is it money? I better examine my own heart in this connection. May I say to you, Paul could say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And therefore, you can preach the gospel and say things that are absolutely true. And then your life, it's speaking another message all the same time. Oh, I want to say to you, I pray about this a great deal in my own life. And I say, oh, God, don't let me preach unless I can have a clear conscience. Unless there is the power of the Spirit of God, I don't want to preach unless there's those two things. You know, it's glorious to preach the gospel, but it's an awful thing to preach it. And actually, down underneath, there is that lack of sincerity, lack of being committed to it, having a conviction about it. And may I say, I'm not just talking to preachers, because they've already tuned me out, but I'm talking to you, Christian friend. You want to be a witness for Christ? And you are a witness. Actually, what he's speaking of here as being the clergy or the ministry is not the man in the pulpit, it's the man in the pew. We today ought to train people for the work of the ministry, Paul says. That's our business. We ought to help equip you. But I'd like to say to you that it's very important for us to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for the sheep, not for the shepherd. He died for the sheep. And it's the sheep that are going to win sheep. The shepherd doesn't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep, you know. Heard that the other day. That's tremendous. Shepherds can't produce sheep. My business is try to get you to witness. And by the way, are you doing something today to get the word of God out? That's witnessing. God may have given you a gift to make money, and you're helping somebody get it out. You may be a man or woman of prayer, or you may have contact with people nobody else could reach. They wouldn't listen to me. I find that some people, they say, "My, I don't want to listen to that fellow with that." What was it? I read a letter the other day. This party listened to me and thought I had a twang, and they were about ready to turn me off. They laughed at my accent, and then they kept listening. And there's a professor back in the University of Ohio. He said, "When I tuned you in, I thought you was a screamer from my section of the country. That is East Tennessee and West Virginia." But he says, "I found out you didn't run out of breath. I kept waiting for you to, and you didn't." And that man came to the Lord. Now, I can't reach all of them, though. A lot of them tuned me in, and then they tuned me out. But you could reach them. God's called you to witness, my friend. This is tremendous.